Okay, open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, I'll begin reading in the first verse of this chapter and read down through verse 10. Follow along, please, in your Bible as I read. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you. You may feel free to use it. The Gospel of John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Speaking of all the other who claimed to be the Messiah. But he said in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now here's my text. But the Lord Jesus said, now watch this carefully. He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of eternal life. Eternal life. You say, well, Pastor, I'm already saved. I know the Lord. Yeah, but I want you to listen. And you'll find out this morning some things about your eternal life that will bless your heart. If you know the Lord this morning, I want you to listen very carefully. There are some things here about this eternal life that you were given by the Lord, that you accepted, that I want you to allow to bless your heart. If you're here today and you're not 100% sure that you have eternal life, maybe you're here today and you say, well, you know, I don't know for sure if I died where I'd go. I just don't know for sure. Well, I want you to listen very carefully because I promise you there's something here for you. I don't believe in I don't believe in coincidences. I don't believe that God looks over the battlements of heaven, sees anything that goes on in our lives and then goes, whoops. I believe that everything is in, that God's in complete control of everything. And so if you just wandered in here this morning and you thought, well, I believe I'll go to church, and you ended up here, it's not an accident that you came here. Because I'm going to talk about something this morning that you need. I'm going to talk about eternal life. And I want you to give me your undivided attention. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to preach for about 45 minutes. I hope that's okay with you. Doesn't matter if it is or not. I'm going to do it anyway. But I got something here that I think will be a blessing to you. This is a great verse. Yes. What a great verse. I want you to look at that again. He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. What a great truth. Let's pray. And then ask the Lord to bless us and end the message. Our Father, thank you so much for your eternal word. And Lord, I pray that you will bless it today. I pray the Spirit of God will guide and direct and help me as I speak. And Lord, I pray that you'll give understanding to every heart here. Lord, may we focus for the next 40 minutes with everything we got. Not think about what we're going to do after a while. Not think about the ball game tonight. Not think about anything but what we're about to hear. Because Lord, someone's eternity no doubt hinges on the next 40 minutes. So Father, fill me with your Spirit and give me your power as I preach. But Lord, fill our folks this morning. Just, Lord, hover over this place and give us your blessing that only you can give. And Lord, may it make a difference in somebody's life today. Father, bless our guests who are here. Thank you for each one coming. And Lord, we're blessed that they're here. And I pray that you will encourage their hearts and stir our souls now with your word. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, with all the mysteries that surround us in this world, there is not a greater mystery than the mystery of life. We have, for as long as we've been on the planet, trying to figure out this thing called life. We see or we recognize life by a thousand evidences, and yet there's not a one of us sitting here this morning who could adequately tell us exactly what life is. When we see the swarms of people coming out of the mall or in the stores of the mall, or when we watch the news and we see the throngs of people that are in the major cities of New York and Chicago and some of the other big cities in America, or when we watch a group of school children bounding out of the school building at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon and hustling towards their bus or hustling into mom's waiting arms, we will look at this and we'll say, wow, look at that life. Look at all the energy. Look at the life that is represented right there. We see some lighthearted soul who's just, you know, a joy to be around. They're just, their personality just beams and they're fun to be around. We'll watch them for a little while and then we'll say, you know, that so-and-so sure is full of life. We see life all around us. And even though it looks at us through countless eyes and speaks through us through innumerable voices, what that life represents is one of the innumerable hidden things of God, which no one has been able to explain. Each year, the winter gives way to what we call the life of the springtime. I don't know about you, but I'm already looking forward to that. In the spring of the year, we look at one another and we say, you know, the earth is coming back to life. Now, folks, if what I just described is true of life, much more so must it be true of eternal life. How can any of us hope to be able to understand eternal life? We can't understand life, much less eternal life. We can see something or somebody and say that something or that somebody is full of life, but we cannot define what life is. Can we look at someone and say that they are full of eternal life? I think you'll have to admit that this matter of life and eternal life is just massive in its scope. And yet, even though all life is a mystery and none of us can fully comprehend it, it was this mystery which was the great message of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he spoke about it everywhere he went. Every day he spoke about this thing called life and eternal life. It was what his message was all about. If you think about it, you can sum up our Lord's gospel message in a single word, and that one word is life. When you get at the heart of all that our Lord taught, you will find life is nestled right up against that heart. I'm saying that the matter of life is at the very center of our Lord's entire message. Every time he spoke with life at the very center of what he was saying. Now, being the perfect preacher that our Lord was, he was forever varying his message. It always had one theme: life, eternal life, how to have life, how to have eternal life. But he was forever varying the way he presented that message. He did not always play the song, the same note all the time. Emily got up here beautifully, played that violin a moment ago. I love to hear that, don't you? She beautifully played that violin. A few years ago, she and her sisters went together on my 25th anniversary of being in the ministry, and they bought me a violin. Now, you would not want me up here playing the violin accompanying anybody who was singing. I'm pretty good with one note. I got one note down. I can take that finger right there and I can put it on that little skinny string, and I can play that one note, and it's really pretty. I can even wiggle my finger like she does so that it makes it sound like it's running continuously. I'm getting pretty good at it. But you would not want me accompanying anybody up here while they were singing. I can play one note. I can play that note pretty good. But that's about all I can play. Well, when the Lord was presenting in that 3.5 years of his earthly ministry, when he was presenting to us the gospel, he did not just use one note to get his message across. I mean, he delivered his message with 100 different forms in his passionate attempt to get people to trust him as their Savior. He used parables. That's an earthly story that had a heavenly meaning connected to it, such as in our story right here that we just read from John 10. He talked about a door to the sheepcote. And he talked about how he was that door. He used the parable. He used pictures. He would paint pictures using birds and flowers and all kinds of different things. You know how the Lord spoke. And he would use all these different things, illustrations. And sometimes he would just use a straightforward statement like to Nicodemus when he said, "Nicodemus, ye must be born again." I mean, that's pretty straightforward. Through parables, through images, through pictures, through illustrations, every message was geared toward explaining and leading people to life eternal. He said one time, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." He said, "I am come that you might have life," in our text here, "and that you might have it more abundantly." He said in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. And I am saying to you that all he came to teach, all that he was and all that he was about, is summed up and centered in that one little word, life." I want to talk to you about that word this morning. There are a couple things I want you to think with me about. First of all, I want you to think of this. The very fact that Jesus spoke of life is our assurance that life is a good thing. Man, we all need that eternal life Jesus was speaking of. It's not just for a few select people here and there. No, my Bible very clearly tells me that the Lord Jesus died for every person on this planet. That means he died for you. He died for all of us. Whatever it is, this matter of life, whatever it is in its unfathomable depth, it must be good since our Lord's entire focus was upon it. Everything he did had shined upon the matter of eternal life. And the amazing thing is, for 3.5 years, all he talked about was life and how to have eternal life, even though his life was full of sorrow, rejection, and hatred. Isaiah said of him, he was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I mean, think about it, folks. His whole life, 3.5 years, all focused on life. And yet, even on his sunniest day, he walked beneath the shadow of the cross. He knew the cross was out there before him. Think of it. Whenever the disciples were with him, whenever they were there, and they were always around him for that 3.5 years. But whenever they were there, he lived under the suspicious and watchful eye of his betrayer, Judas Iscariot. With his every step, he could hear the serpent hissing right beneath his feet. But still, he spoke and said that life was a good thing. Now, folks, think of this. He said he was not manifested to take away life, but that he was manifested to take away death. Life is a good thing. Death is the bad thing. He did not come to take away life. He came to take away death. You see, death is the enemy, not life. Life is a gift from God that was then invaded by sin, and thus physical death came as a result, and eventually eternal death. Jesus did not come to take away death. He came instead to give life. Therefore, death is the enemy, not life. The scriptures declare that God is the giver and the taker of life, and it is appointed unto man once to die. And it is our hope, our trust, that the last enemy which will be destroyed is death. Now, along that line, we come to understand what is the meaning of eternal life. Listen very carefully, folks. I want you to think about this. What is this eternal life that Jesus came to offer mankind? Eternal life is something very different from immortality. Now think about it for a moment. Eternal life, this eternal life that Jesus is talking about here, is something very different from immortality. The Lord Jesus did not come that we might have immortality. We should have immortality without him. We are not immortal because Christ was born and then died upon Calvary's cross. We are immortal because that is the way God created us. You go back and read in your Bible, folks, in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, it discusses creation. And you will read in your Bible that that God breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. We already have immortality. Do you know what that means, dear friend? Do you know what that means? Everybody in this room, everybody in this room, you already have immortality. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said it this way, you must live somewhere forever. Because you're immortal. God made you immortal. God created you that way. But eternal life is something entirely different from immortality. We are not immortal because Christ was born and then died upon the cross. We are immortal because God created us that way. Eternal life, however, is different from immortality. Eternal life is a gift that was given to us by the Lord Jesus. Folks, understand this. God gave you life. Sin stole that life away. Now the wages of sin is death. And sitting here in this building is a room full of people who are immortal. You're going to live somewhere forever. You have the life of God that has been breathed into you. That's why you're living. But sin came along, and now the curse of sin is upon you. And now what Jesus did was he came and he said, let me take their sin penalty. I will pay their sin debt and now make available to everyone eternal life. Wow. Hey, that's what Christmas is all about. That's what Easter is all about. That's what Sunday is all about, all 52 of them every year. That's what Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, that's what it's all about. Life is all about what Jesus did for us on Calvary's cross. That's eternal life, folks, what Jesus came to offer. God breathed and man became a living soul. We are immortal by the very touch of God Almighty. Each and every one of us has the stamp of God upon our souls that we will forever exist and will never cease. Our immortality is the Creator's gift to all men. That immortality expresses itself here in life. Eternal life, however, is the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are immortal whether we like it or not. We are immortal whether we believe it or not. We cannot change that fact. We were created that way. Now we can end life with an accident or through disease or through suicide or just through old age. But eternal life we cannot end. We can end life, but we cannot end eternal life. You see, with life, we have no choice. But with eternal life, we can refuse that. You with me? How many of you are alive this morning? Raise your hand. No, that's good. A few of you, you're not sure, are you? Huh? Yeah. But you didn't have any choice in life. You didn't have any choice in that. I've had people tell me, I wish I had never been born. I've had a lot of people tell me that through the years. You know why they say that? Because sin just takes away all their dreams and hopes and aspirations. And I've had many of people tell me, preacher, I wish I had never been born. But the thing of it is, not a one of us has a say in life. You cannot make that choice. You cannot make that decision. That is what is so horribly wrong with abortion, is that we make the decision about life. When my Bible very clearly tells me that God is the giver and the taker of life. You have no choice in the matter of life. But you have every choice in the matter of eternal life. For you see, the Bible is very clear on this. Paul said that the gift, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible, the Lord said, you will not come to me that you might have life. You see, the only way that anybody can have life is to, eternal life, is to accept the gift of God's salvation through Jesus. Church can't save you. I can't save you. You know, I wish I could save you. I really do. I wish I could, but I can't. And neither can any other human being save you. Neither can a church save you. There is nobody that can save you other than the Savior. The Lord said, you will not come unto me that you might have life. Accepting the gift of salvation is the way to acquire eternal life. Do you remember the Lord Jesus when he was crucified? He had a thief on one side and a thief on the other side. And the one thief said, if you're the Son of God, then come down off the cross, save yourself and save us too. The other thief looked over and said, man, what's wrong with you? We deserve what we're getting, but this man, he's done nothing wrong. This man is an innocent man. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And the Lord Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today. Today. The Lord knew. And he said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. My friends, accepting the gift of salvation is the only way to acquire eternal life. Both of these thieves that were crucified alongside of the Lord Jesus were immortal. Both of them were going to live somewhere forever, even though their physical lives were ending that day. But for only one of them, eternal life was waiting. Only one. You say, well, Pastor, if only one of those immortal souls got eternal life, what happened to the other immortal soul? Well, he got eternal death, which is eternal separation from God, which is hell. They were both immortal, but only one had eternal life. And how did he get it? By calling upon the Lord and receiving it as the gift of God. My friends, it's that simple. Your eternity depends upon your acceptance of God's gift of salvation. You had no choice in life. God gave you life, but you do have a choice in eternal life, for the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Acceptance or rejection of eternal life through Jesus Christ is the center of all our struggle on this planet. It is. There are folks sitting right here this morning, and you're struggling with eternal life. You're struggling with it. You have life, but you're not 100% sure you have eternal life. And if you would just be honest with yourself, you would say that you are not at peace in your own life because you do not have assurance of eternal life. Now, let me show you something to verify my point. If you are here this morning and you are saved and you know it, I mean, your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have called upon the name of the Lord. You've trusted him as your Savior for the forgiveness of sin. And you know that should death come and knock on your door, you know that you are ready to go to heaven and you will be with the Lord forever and ever. Hey, if you know that beyond any shadow of doubt, give me a good hearty amen right now.
Amen.
Yes, indeed. Do you know some of you couldn't give a hearty amen right there? You know what that means? That means you're struggling with it. You're having a hard time trying to figure it out, and you're saying, no, I don't know for sure. I mean, if you could not give a hearty amen right there, be honest with yourself, dear friend. You're struggling with your eternal life. And there is nothing that the devil wants more than to get you to struggle with eternal life. That's what the battle's all about. I got some good news for you. John said these things rightly unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You can know that you're saved. Hey, look up here. You're looking at one hillbilly that knows for sure that he's saved and on his way to heaven. You say, well, I don't know how you can know that. These things, write we unto you that ye may know. That's how I know. You see, I'm not trusting in me. I'm not trusting in my own goodness because I don't have any. I'm not trusting in the fact that I'm the pastor of this great church. I'm not trusting in, you get a bulletin, don't do it, but you get a bulletin, look it over, turn it over on the back, my picture's there, my name's there. That surprises me every time I come in here, every Sunday, I look at that and I say, well, look at there. Lo and behold, I'm the pastor here. That's not how I know. I get up several times a week and I say, open your Bible, and I preach from the Bible, but that's not how I know. I know that I'm saved because I have read in the book, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And man, I remember back all those years ago, I called on him and he saved me because he had to do what he said he was going to do. I know I'm saved. You can know it, dear friend. A couple of years ago, I had a fellow. He was coming to church here. I think he moved. I think he moved away. Matter of fact, I know he did. But he was coming to church here. And Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, he had raised his hand. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved. Pray for me. And so a couple of times after that, he would come forward and somebody would deal with him. And so I would go and talk to him after. I say, would you get it settled? Well, yeah, I hope so. I said, no. You can know so. Eternal life is not a hope-so thing. It's a know-so thing. And I show him the verses. And I said, what's that say? That ye may, what's that next word? And he go, no. And I said, what does that word mean? Does it mean to hope? No. What's it mean? He said, well, to know. I said, exactly. So why are you sitting here hoping when God says you can know? And so several weeks went by. One Saturday I was over here at the office and working. And the phone rang at Fran's desk. When you call the church and you dial my extension 306, it does not ring at my desk. It rings at Fran's desk. Fran is my bumper. She takes all the hits. And so it rings a different way. I know when someone's calling for me because it rings a different tone. So I got up. I went into her desk. I answered the phone. Pastor, I said, yeah. I said, I didn't think I'd get you. I said, well, you did. What's up? He said, Pastor, he said, I got it. And I said, you did. He said, I did. I got it. I said, well, what'd you get? You know, what'd you catch, pneumonia? What you got? You got the flu? Pastor, I got it. I said, what'd you get? He said, I got it. Eternal life. I finally figured it out. He said, it is not what I do, it's what Jesus has done. All I got to do is just trust what he's done, and he gives me the gift of eternal life. I said, yes, sir, that's it. You got it. And his life, whole life changed. His whole outlook changed. His struggle with eternal life was settled. Brethren, if you're here this morning, dear friend, listen. If you're here this morning, I don't care if this is your first time here or your 10th time here or your 100th time here or your 1,000th time here. That's beside the point. The point is, would you quit struggling with a gift that God wants to give you? Just accept it and let God give you eternal life. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't barter for it. I've had people say, you know, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. Turn the whole tree over if you want to. It's not going to change. It's not going to save your soul. You just need to come and throw yourself on the altar of God's grace and say, Lord, I accept your gift. Number three, quickly. Speaking of life, you can never measure life by its duration. Never. We want to measure life by quantity. So, yeah, he was 75 years old when he died. Yeah, but what was those 75 years like? Well, he was miserable. He was a miserable old wretch. We want to measure life by its duration. Life's truest measure is never quantity. Life's truest measure should be quality. It is not the length of years that makes the difference. It's the depth of it. It's the quality. The question is not how long someone lives. The question is how much. And it was of that Christ was speaking when he spoke of eternal life. It's not how do you put a number on eternal? You don't. It's eternal. You say, preacher, what are we going to be doing 10 million years from now? Living. Well, what are we going to be doing? I don't know. But I know I'm going to be living. Amen. We want to put years on it. No, 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 no. No, no, no. Think of a mountain stream, folks. Think of a mountain stream. In the hot summertime, there's barely a trickle of water. The rocks are clearly seen. But when the snow melts in the spring and the rains come in the spring, the water is raging down that river. And the rocks are now covered up by a great volume of water. Now the river is not any longer than it was before. It's only deeper than it was before. If you measure by miles, the river is no longer. However, if you measure it by the volume, it is vastly different. And that is the life that is given by the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not any longer than God's immortality, which he gave you at birth. It is only that same river deepened by the glorious touch of God's blessing upon your life through the wonderful blessings of sins forgiven. Man, I remember when I got saved, I had 16 years of life. Are you listening? I had 16 years of life. I was 16 years old when I got saved. And now I'm... And I can look back and the quality has changed. The quality has changed. Hey, I've got a God. Hallelujah. I've got a God that I can come to. I've got a God that cares. I've got a God that loves me. I've got a God that gave me a Bible that I can read and get comfort and encouragement. Hey, I had life back here. I had immortality back here. But one day I got eternal life. I got a quality. And I wouldn't go back and change. I would not go back and say, boy, I wished I hadn't gotten saved. No, the quality of life that I got when I got saved. Whew, praise God. Praise God for it. Folks, this is the struggle. This is what men are struggling with. Eternal life is a quality of life that helps me deal with now as I walk with Christ in the Word and grow and have faith and trust His promises and am more than a conqueror in this old sinful world. I don't know how folks do it without Christ. I don't know how they manage. You need the Lord, dear friend. You say, Pastor, I'm struggling right now. I'm having a hard time. Hey, we all are. I got the Lord. And if you don't have the Lord, my friend, you need the Lord. You need this eternal life that I'm talking about. Now, one more thing and I'll close. Listen, in the eyes of Jesus, In the eyes of Jesus, all that life was one. The life he was talking about, same thing as the eternal life. Just what he comes is to offer his life and to define it so you and I could figure it all out. That life that he offers is eternal life. Eternal. And this eternal life I received will never end. Eternal life is continuous. When I check out down here, my eternal life goes on. Yeah. I've told you folks, and I mean this sincerely, I've given my wife orders that if I die, the family can come in and look at me. I don't want all you all coming in looking at me. Now, I'm sorry. That's just the way I feel about it. I don't want any of you coming in here looking at me and say, oh, doesn't he look good? No, he don't look good. He's dead. Don't look good. Are you kidding? He didn't look good when he was living. I mean, and now you... No. She can put a picture there. But family can see me. I don't want any of you all walking by and going, oh, look at him. No, that ain't me. I got eternal life. I'm up on streets of gold. I'm having the time of my life. I am looking in the face of the one that gave me this gift. When I didn't deserve it, he gave it to me. Amen. And in the eyes of Jesus, all that life is one. The eternal life, it'll never die. It'll never end. It's continuous. He said, he that believeth hath everlasting life. If you are saved, you have it now. It's not something that you're one day going to go get. You have it now. He that believeth in me shall never die. Never. You say, well, physically we're going to die. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the life that is in you that you received at salvation, that eternal life. It will never die. Never. Never. I don't know about you, but if I didn't have that, I'd want that right now, right here this morning. I mean, all the king's horses and all the king's men could not keep me from running to Jesus and saying, Lord, can you give that to me? And I guarantee you, if you run and ask him, he'll give it to you. For whosoever will may come. Now, brethren, listen, do you have that eternal life? Do you have it? Do you have it? Have you accepted God's gift of salvation? And this is the struggle that all men everywhere face. This is why there are churches all over the place here in America. This is why. All over America this morning, there are preachers that are standing up and telling people about God. Now, sad thing is, there's an awful lot of them through the years that have gotten away from telling about what was the main theme of Christ's message, life. And they want to talk about everything else under the sun. All over America, some guys are wearing suits and ties. Some guys are wearing blue jeans and sandals. Some of them are wearing their pajamas and their shirts turned around backwards. Some of them are men. Some of them are women. I mean, everywhere. That's the struggle. Life. That's the struggle. And brethren, you're here. Why are you here? Why did you come today? You didn't come because of me. You didn't come because Pastor Campbell. Why did you come? Because deep down inside, given to you by God himself, you may not have even known this, but deep down inside there was a little trigger that God put in you. And here recently God flipped that little switch in your life and you started asking, what about eternity? What about heaven? What about life? Well, praise God, you came to the right spot this morning, because I just read for you that Jesus offers eternal life. The question is, have you received the gift? Now I'll close with this. Let's say that this is $1,000. I've got $1,000 right here. And I say, I'm going to give this away. I'm going to give this away. And I say, Pastor Todd, I'm going to give you this. Pastor Todd says, wow, thanks. I say, you're welcome. You mean free? You going to give it to me? I say, yeah, I'm going to give it to you. Well, what do I got to do to get it? You don't have to do it. I'm going to give it to you. What do I have to come mow your grass for 10 years or what? I said, no, man, that's a gift. Oh, I know. You want me to come out there and blow your driveway off with the snowblower when it snows. No, it's a gift. That's free. I'm giving it to you. Well, Pastor, I got to do something for it. No, Todd, it's a gift. Could you imagine Christmas Day? You sit down with your spouse and say, honey, I got this nice present here for you, but you got to give me $50. Sorry, but you got to give me $50. No, it wouldn't be a gift if you charged her for it. And so I say, Todd, I'm going to give you it. Well, we can sit here and debate the subject. We can sit here and talk about it. I can go home, put some blue jeans on and sandals and a golf shirt, come back and offer it to him. I can go out and get a big black robe and a purple hat and come in here and offer it to him. I mean, you know, I can let my hair grow long. No, I can't do that, but I could do that. I could, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter. That's my point. That's not what counts. None of that is important. That's what we think's important. What's important is that I have a gift and I am offering that gift. And I can stand here and offer it until I'm blue in the face, but it is not his until he takes it. And you know the good thing is, once you take it, God is not going to be like the pastor and take it back. Have you received the gift?